king could give his life for the redemption of rebels, his wealth to welcome the outcast. Jesus is that king, the king of glory, son of the living God. Not just another king, not just another prophet, not just another teacher. He was the one the world had been waiting for, the one to deliver us from captivity, the son of David and Abraham's chosen seed. He is the goal of the Mosaic law, Yahweh in the flesh. He is the one to establish God's reign and rule, to heal the sick, give sight to the blind, freedom to the prisoners, and proclaim good news to the poor. This Jesus was the creator come to earth and the beginning of a new creation. He embodied the covenant, fulfilled the commandments, and reversed the curse. This Jesus is the Christ that God spoke of to the serpent, the one prefigured to Noah in the flood, the one promised to Abraham, the one guaranteed to Moses before he died, the one promised to David during his reign, the one revealed to Isaiah as a suffering servant, the one predicted through the prophets and prepared for through John the Baptist. He is the Father's Son, Savior of the world, and substitute for our sins. More loving, more holy, and more wonderfully terrifying than we ever thought possible. He is our Jesus, and there is no other king like him. He is our God, our glory, our victorious Savior. There is no other king like him. There is no other king.
Amen to that. No other king. That's why we're here this morning. No other king like Jesus. Happy Easter. I'm so glad you're here. Music group, y'all did an awesome job. I'm glad the Holy Spirit is here. And you all look fancy this morning. You look great. Y'all clean up good. Give yourselves a hand for looking so good. Everybody took a shower. Smells good. That's good. All right. I just wanted to let you know. Before we get into a message, as a church, our goal is to help people find and fulfill their God-given destiny. Not to kind of create a destiny for you or tell you what it is, because God created you with a destiny. But our goal is to help you find and fulfill the destiny that God picked for you, created for you before the foundations of the earth. When he formed you in your mother's womb, he had a plan for you. You're not an accident. You're here by divine design. And as a church, that's our goal, is to help you fulfill, find and fulfill your God-given destiny. So we're on a journey, and come join us on that journey. Well, the title of my message today is Victory Over Fear. If you need notes, there's one copy in your worship guide. If you need an extra one, raise your hand. The ushers have extra notes. And also be sure you have the response card. We'll need that at the end of the service. Tell an usher if you need that. Victory over fear. 77% of Americans say they experience physical symptoms from stress, worry, and fear. The annual cost reported by the National Center for Disease Control, the annual cost to employers for stress-related health care is $300 billion. Doctors, hospital doctors, say that 78% of physical illnesses that they treat are psychosomatically induced. What does that mean? It means they have a real sickness or disease, but it was caused by fear. Fear causes very real changes in our bodies, negative reactions. Fear can make you sick. Fear can give you a heart attack. Fear can give you a stroke. Fear can make you die young. Fear can make you fail a test. Anybody ever experienced that? You knew the stuff, but you failed it because of fear. Fear can paralyze you in intense situations. Many stories of people just being paralyzed by fear. Fear can make you lose sleep, feel tired, even commit suicide. 54% of Americans say stress causes them to fight with people close to them. Don't say amen to that one. Just, 6.3 million Americans have a medically diagnosed phobia. 74% of Americans fear having to speak in public. 68% of Americans fear dying. Other common fears diagnosed by the medical community is fear of darkness, fear of heights, fear of social situations, fear of flying, fear of close quarters, fear of thunder, fear of lightning. 30% of Americans have a fear of spiders. How many can join that? Say you're like, I don't like spiders. I don't know that I fear them. But and 100% of FSU students fear the swamp. Just want to let you know. Come on, go Gators! All right, I made that one up. I didn't read that in a journal. I just believe that to be true. 3 John 1:2 says this, "Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health just as your soul prospers." Fear begins in your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. That where fear begins, but it can also affect your body. It can affect your spirit. And this is God's desire. Look at this. God's people, so much. Can we all relate to fear? I mean, I don't know that anybody is excluded from facing fear, feeling fear at one time or another. But I want you to know, scripturally, we're going to look at this today. God does not want us to live in fear. In fact, God wants us to dominate, conquer fear, kick it out of our lives once and for all. And that's what Easter is all about. What does Easter have to do with fear? It has everything to do with fear because it's the power to get the victory over fear. We're going to look at that today. He said, "Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper." God wants you to prosper and be in good health, that your all respects prosper, be in good health as your soul. He wants your soul to be free from stress, from worry, and from fear. Galatians 5:22 says, "The fruit of the Spirit," capital S, the Holy Spirit, "the fruit of the Holy Spirit," the first three is this: love, joy, peace. And I'll tell you, if you got love, joy, and peace, fear doesn't have a chance in your life. And that's what Jesus purchased for us on an old rugged cross 2,000 years ago. And by conquering the grave, rising from the dead, it's one thing to die, it's another thing to rise from the dead. He predicted that in 3 days he would rise from the dead, and guess what? He pulled it off. Amen. I'm telling you, all heads of all other religions are still in their grave. They're still dead. None of them rose from the dead, had the power to conquer death. Jesus conquered death, and he can conquer fear in your life. And with him, he brings love, joy, and peace so that we don't have to experience the negative repercussions of fear in our life. Easter, the resurrection, the cross, is all about love, joy, and peace. Jesus conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. He conquered fear. He conquered evil. He conquered the curse. Everything that you hate, Jesus conquered it. That's what Easter is all about. That's why we celebrate Easter. If you struggle with fear, stress, or worry, you are not alone. What does Easter have to do with this? With fear? Everything, because it's the means of conquering fear. It's how we get faith in our life. Every victory you'll ever need was purchased on an old rugged cross and through his resurrection. John 14, Jesus said this, "Don't let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid." Those are the words of Jesus. If he's here today, I believe he'd tell us those same words. Everybody that struggles fear, and I'm pretty sure it's every one of us in this room, he would say, "Don't be afraid." That's comforting words. Don't be afraid. Don't let. So he's saying we have some control over this. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it. Well, we're going to talk about how to not let it and what we have to put in place of it. Then he said in John chapter 16, he said, "In the world, you're going to have tribulation." So he didn't say, you know, just come to me and you'll never have another problem. He didn't say that. He said, the world is going to keep throwing crud at you. Stuff is going to happen. The world is under a curse. There's sickness. There's disease. There's pain. There's lack. There's suffering. He didn't say, "I'm going to remove you." One day he's going to remove us from all this. Thank God. But you know what? Why has he left us here? Because he wants us to conquer our enemies like he conquered his enemies. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, but take courage. I've overcome the world. That's what Easter is telling us. He overcame. The greatest fear would be the fear. The worst thing someone could do to you was kill you, right? And he said, "I conquered that." Yeah. I conquered death. So what should we be afraid of if Jesus has conquered our greatest enemy, death, hell, and the grave? Romans chapter 8 says this, "Yet in all these things, Paul was talking about all the, as a Christian, all the stuff that he had to go through in life, imprisonment, beatings, stone. You say, well, at least he got some relief. No, not that kind of stone. I mean, he was, you know, stoned with rocks. You know, they stoned him to death. He was beaten, imprisoned, ultimately killed for his faith. But he said, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him. Through him. Through him. That's what Easter is all about. That's what the resurrection is about. Through him who loved us. So Easter is not just a historical celebration where we say, oh, wasn't that wonderful that happened 2,000 years ago? No, it's a very present reality. It's something that's efficacious today. It works in our life. It has power. It is available for us in the nitty-gritty of life. Whatever you're doing, if you're a student, if you're a mother, if you're a father, employee, all the stuff. The resurrection applies to everything that you go through, the things that would cause you to have fear. The resurrection is good news that you can conquer everything in your life. Jesus said this about the last days. How many of you think we're in the last days? We're definitely closer than we were yesterday. We're a lot closer than when he said this 2,000 years ago. He said he's coming back. Things are going to wrap up. And he said in the last days, as things intensify, as things get worse, and he gave signs, and we see all these signs happening. And he said, this is what's going to happen in those days, Luke 21. Men's hearts would be failing them for what? For fear and the expectation of things which are happening on the earth. Listen, stuff that's happening on the earth today, if you just look at it in the natural without an understanding of supernatural power, it's good reason to fear. But I want to give you a good reason to not fear today as we look at the resurrection. I'm with you. I used to worry a lot. I don't say that I never worry anymore, but I'm doing a lot better than I used to do. I'm proud of myself. I don't worry as much as I used to. And I came about it rightly. My mother was a world champion worrier. Yeah, she was really good at worrying. My dad never worried about anything. Unfortunately, I inherited the worry from my mother. I got that. My dad's stuff just jumped right over the top of me, skipped me somehow. My dad started an ice cream company in 1946 after World War II. And he married my mother in 1951, and she was the bookkeeper and the accountant for the business. And I got that kind of a mind. I taught accounting, college accounting, for 5 years. And accounting is all about logic and numbers and projections, and that's the way I think. And when you think like that, you can see all the ways everything can go wrong. Did anybody relate with me? And I'm real good at projecting how many ways this can go wrong and how many failures, thank you, Lord, I think like that. Think like my mother like that. See, my dad, he never worried about a thing. And he's the one that caused my mother most of the worry, most of the fear, because he never worried. He's always coming up with new inventions and new ideas, no practical plan for implementing it, and he used to cause my mother great frustration. And I used to ask my dad, I said, Dad, aren't you worried? He said, you want me to switch mics? He said, why? Check. How about this one? Two, three, four. Okay, I'm going to switch mics. So my dad would come up with all these ideas. He shot from the hip. See, I'm like my mother, you know, plan, make sure everything's going to work. My dad, let's just do it and then see if it works. All right, you figure out a way. That's what he was, you know, you make it work. Dad, it ain't going to work. Ain't no way. That's all right. Make it work. He'd come up with new ideas. So we had this ice cream business, right? So he started in 1946. He rented a push cart in Miami, pushing it down the street, selling ice cream. Then he bought the cart, and he bought another cart. And then he saw a niche. He said, people aren't making Cuban ice cream, and people aren't making Italian specialties. Got to have some Italian specialties around here. So he started manufacturing one step at a time. But we were in the ice cream business, and I remember him decided we're going to go in the Italian sausage business. Now, what kind of sense does that make? But it didn't matter. I remember in middle school, I come home, I'd have to debone Boston butts, grind up this meat, took the ancient Italian secret recipe that my dad had from Naples and made Italian sausage.
That didn't work. And then he came up with this idea. He decided we were going to go in the ice business. That works with ice cream. That's half of ice cream anyway is ice. So we would buy 300-pound blocks of ice. I would crush them and put them in 10-pound bags, and we were going to deliver them with the ice cream. That didn't work. Then he decided we're going to go in the coffee business and buy coffee beans and roast them and put them in bags and deliver it with the ice cream and freeze it. That didn't work. So he was always coming up with ideas, and he always caused my mom consternation and fear. And I said, Dad, aren't you worried? And he said this. He said, why worry when you can pray? He was on to something that I'm just now figuring out. Some of us have a propensity to fear. We inherit it. Right. It's a part of our thinking. And I found out no matter what kind of personality you have, there is an ability to fear on the inside of us. And what I've been finding out is I can cast my cares. I can see all the ways this can go wrong, and what I have to do is take it and cast my cares over on the Lord. Yeah, I found out that not fearing was as simple as making a decision to not fear. How? Just to trust God. It's like my dad would say, why worry when you can pray? Why worry when you have a Father in heaven who will take your cares if we'll give them to him? I think it's like this. You know, if we say, I got this, he goes, okay, you got it. Let's see how good you do. And if we say, Lord, I can't handle this, I'll do what I have to do. And there's things that we have to do, right? But what I can't do, what I can't see, what I can't change, I give it to you. And I found it brings a whole lot more peace in my life. I've also found that when I cast it and I just know that he's going to come through, he does that. He comes through. I mean, just recently, I remember having a situation, and I was thinking, how am I going to deal with this? How am I going to talk through this situation? And I started figuring out all the different avenues I would have to take in this discussion, and I caught myself and I said, nope, I'm not going to do it because I have no idea how this is going to go and how it's going to work out. I'm going to trust God. God's going to show me how to handle it right then in that situation. I have the Holy Spirit. I'm going to know what to do. And in the days leading up to that situation, I kept finding myself, now, if this happens, I can do it. And I go, no, I made a decision. I am not going to figure it out. I'm going to trust God. And when the day came for this situation, I remember just going in complete peace. Now, normally, I would be anxious, right? Because I don't know which chess move this person is going to make, and I've got all the moves, and can I remember all the moves, and I can remember. Have you ever just practiced the speech 100 times, and this and that, and if he says this, I'll do this, and if she does this, I'll do that, and you got all the moves, and then you're all anxious, because I don't know if I'll remember all the moves and say everything I was supposed to say. And you know what? I didn't have that at all going into this situation. And you know what? During that situation, I just sat there, and I thought, Holy Spirit. And you know what happened? Every time I needed to speak, something just, I just knew in my mind, say this, say that. And it went smooth as silk. We solved the situation. We solved the problem. I didn't have to worry going into it. It had God's solution, and I had peace afterwards. I'm telling you, it's just a decision you make to quit figuring it out in your head and do something else, though. Don't be irresponsible and just forget about it, but say, God, you're going to give me the solution. That's what Jesus told his disciples, how to handle adversity. He said, I'll give you the words. If they bring you before the kings and the leaders and the smartest people in the world, he said, you don't have to worry. I'll tell you what to say. And that's the way it is in our life. We just have to trust God. We have to kick things over onto God. Psalm 37:5 says this, commit your way to the Lord. That's what I'm talking about. Committing your way to the Lord. Watch this. Trust in him. So what was I doing in that situation? Being irresponsible and saying, I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to, you know, work on this. I'm not going to try to solve this situation. No, I said, I'm going to commit this to the Lord, and I'm going to trust him to do what only he can do. And look what it says. What will he do? He'll leave you stranded. He'll forget about you. He had another appointment. He was checking his text messages he said, what? He'll do it. Yeah. Just say that in your heart. You know, whatever you're facing, just say to yourself, he'll do it. That's trust, casting your cares on him. Jesus said to pray this way. They asked Jesus, teach us to pray. Here's the first thing he said, our Father who's in heaven. Listen, you have a Father who created the universe, who can make something out of nothing. Think about that for a minute. Who could speak things into existence, and he's your Father, and he's in heaven, and the hairs of your head are numbered. He knows what you're going through. That's the way you start every prayer. That's the way you go into every situation. Here's what Jesus said in Mark chapter 11. And the disciples, the night before, he cursed the fig tree. What's up with that? Huh? Cursed the fig tree because it didn't have fruit. The next day they came by and it said it was all withered and dried from the roots up. And the disciples were amazed. They're like, "Wow, look at that. Look at that. Exactly what you said happened." And here's his response to this. Mark 11, 22. Jesus answered them saying this. Very simple truth. It's true for every one of us, every day, everything we face. Have faith in God. This is what he said. Why are you so surprised? Have faith in God. Why are you so surprised? Just have faith. Whatever you're going through, whatever fears you have faith in God. And you know what? Church can help you with faith. Reading the Bible helps you with faith. Worshiping, music can help you with faith. Getting around church people and God's people will help your faith. It will build your faith. I heard about a guy. He was having trouble sleeping. He went to see a psychiatrist. He told the psychiatrist, he said, "You got to help me." He says, "I cannot sleep at night because I am afraid all night, every night, that somebody or something is under my bed. Can you help me?" He says, "It's driving me crazy." The doctor said, "I can help you. Put your life in my hands. 1 year, come 3 times. We'll have a 1-hour session 3 times a week. At the end of the year, you'll be free from your fear." He said, "All right." He said, "Now what's that going to cost?" He said, "Well, it's $150 a session." The man said, "Let me sleep on that." So he went home. He thought about it. About a year later, he's in the mall, and he runs into that doctor. The doctor says, "Hey, you never came back. You never contacted me. I wanted to help you overcome your fears. What happened?" The guy said, "Well, I went home and I did some math." He said, "$150 three times a week, that's $23,400. He said, "I went to my church small group. I asked my small group leader about it. He solved my problem for nothing. I took the $23,000, bought a brand new pickup. I'm happier than ever, and I sleep great." The doctor seemed flabbergasted. He said, "Whoa, what did he do? How did he solve it for nothing?" He said, "He told me to cut the legs off of my bed." He said, "Now I sleep just fine." Glory to God, it pays to get a second opinion from someone in the church. I'm going to give you 2 steps to get victory over fear. It's in your notes. Here's the first one. Recognize what Jesus did on the cross. Today is Easter. We celebrate the resurrection. Isaiah was a man of God, a prophet of God, who wrote warnings and instructions to Israel 740 B.C. So 740 years before Jesus ever comes on the scene, Isaiah prophesies. There's major prophecies in the book of Isaiah. There's actually 118 major prophecies going up to 4,000 years before Christ, saying what he would fulfill, what he would do, and that every one of them was fulfilled in Jesus. A scientist analyzed these and said the possibility of one person fulfilling all these prophecies in one lifetime is 1 in 10 to the 420th power. That's how many atoms there are in the known universe. And he fulfilled every one of those prophecies. And here's a prophecy in Isaiah 53 that Isaiah said about Jesus. It says this. And what am I talking about? Recognizing what Jesus did on the cross. Here's what he did. "Surely he bore our griefs." Think about that. You got griefs? He bore them. "And carried our sorrows." You got sorrows? He carried it. "Yet we didn't know what was going on. We esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." We looked and said, "Oh, what's happening to our Savior?" No. Everything that happened to him happened for a reason. "But he was wounded for our transgressions." Why was he beaten? Why was his beard plucked out? Why was a crown put on his heads? Why was he mocked? Why was he spit upon? Why was he stabbed in the side? Why was he crucified? Right? "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. right? Those two have to do with the spirit of man. You're a triune being, spirit, soul, and body. And I want you to know that Jesus didn't leave part of you out when he paid the price on the cross. Whatever you face in life either affects your spirit, your soul, or your body. And he's going to show us right here, Isaiah prophesied that Jesus was going to make the provision for you to have victory in the spirit, in the soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, and in your body. Look at this. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, that's your spirit, the chastisement for our peace, peace happens in your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, fell upon him, and by his stripes, that's the stripes that were on his back from that brutal Roman whipping that opened his back to where you could see the bones in his back, by his stripes, that was not accident, we were healed. Isaiah wrote that 740 years ahead of it happening. And it happened for a reason. Everything that happened to him happened for you, for me. Recognize what Jesus did on the cross, the chastisement for your peace. You so that you could have peace instead of fear. Always think about this when you're tempted to fear, when fear comes staring you in the face, knocking on your door. Think about what he did on the cross. He gave me the victory. Recognize what he did on the cross. Number two, the second thing you have to do is this. Open your hand. Open your hand. What do you mean by that? Ecclesiastes 4:6 says, one hand full of rest is better than two fists full of labor and striving after the wind. Sometimes we take everything into our hands, my two hands, everything that I can grab. That means it's all up to me. But he said, one hand full of rest, where I'm turning it over to God. The other hand is working. So like one hand in the world, but one hand in the kingdom, trusting God. If you have one hand always open to God, saying, God, I need your help, you'll make it through every situation. One hand full of rest is better than two fists full of labor and striving. Matthew 6, Jesus put it this way. Seek first. Get the God hand going first. It'll help you with the other hand managing the affairs of life. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all the things that we struggle with will be added unto you. What's the most important thing in life? Look at this story here in Luke chapter 10. It says, as they were traveling along, he entered a village. A woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha, so it's Martha and Mary, right? You got the two sisters. Martha was what? Distracted. See, there's a lot of stuff that wants to distract us from what's most important in life, which is Jesus. Jesus is sitting in the house. Martha and Mary are in the house. Lazarus, their brother, who's been raised from the dead, he's in the house. But Martha is what? Distracted. And I want to tell you, in life, there's a lot going on that wants to distract you from Jesus in the house. Because there's a Jesus in your house. And if there's not, we're going to put him in your house before you leave here today. Jesus is available for every one of us to sit at his feet. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, with life, with stuff, the stuff she had to do. She came up and said to him, Lord, don't you care? My sister's left me to do the serving. Have you ever felt like that? Where's my help? Ain't nobody helping me. Come on, Jesus. Come. Have you ever wanted to be like James and John and call down fire from heaven, lightning, and come on, don't look at me like that. You know that the other person is the one that's, and you want to call down lightning from heaven to kill him. And here's what Jesus said to Martha. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried. When you're worried, you make bad decisions. Fear cripples your ability to do the right thing. You're worried and bothered about a whole lot of stuff, many, many things. But only one thing is necessary. But Mary has chosen the good part, and it won't be taken away from her. it's time for us to rest in the cross. I just want you to think about the next few things. If you got your notes, just fold them up. We're done filling in the blanks. And I just want you to think about your life. I want Easter to have an impact on you today. And think about the things that you struggle with. Think about the things that you're worried about, the things that have to be done. Martha wasn't out doing evil. She wasn't committing adultery. She wasn't out robbing the bank to get some food. No, she was doing good stuff. And sometimes we're busy with good stuff, but we haven't opened the first hand to God and sought Him. And I just want you to pray right now and just think about it. It's time for us, every one of us, to look at our hands and see, are they too full of stuff, of the world stuff? It's time for us to rest in the cross and what it means and what Easter is all about. He is alive, folks. He's alive and He's well on planet Earth. He's moving in His people. He's moving in His church. The Holy Spirit is moving in your life if you'll let Him. It's time to rejoice in the resurrection. It's time to live in the victory of the resurrection. How? Fellowship with God every day. Just everybody, just think about your life. Just be praying right now. Fellowship with God every day. Drive fear out of our lives with faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and just getting with God every day. Faith will rise up in your heart. Live the life of victory that Jesus bought for us. You know what? Every day is Resurrection Day. Every day can be Easter. Lord, we just ask You to show us what we need to change in our life. Show us which hand we need to open. Show us, Lord, what is in our hand that we need to let go, and what is in our hand that we need to hang on to. But something has to change. We need to make some room for You in our life every day to put You first. And just speak to every one of us right now. Now, what I'd like you to do now is everybody would grab a response card. I mean, ushers, pastors, mothers, everybody get a response card and a pen. And I'm going to show you what the A and the B and the C and the D is for. And I'm going to ask everybody to check one of those letters. And I'm going to show you. They're in your worship guide. If you need one, raise your hand. The ushers will bring you one. Some people need the card, okay? And we're going to put up on the overhead right now what these mean. A, so hold on till you read all four of them and decide which one applies to you. A means I'm already in a relationship with Jesus Christ. B means I want to begin a relationship with God today. C, I'd like to consider this a little more. I'm considering committing my life to Christ. I'm considering a life of faith. I'm considering asking Him to forgive my sins and come live on the inside of me. And then D is you've already made up your mind. I don't ever want to submit my life to Christ. A, B, C, or D. We got them all up on the overhead. So now everybody mark one of the four on your card. I'm already in a relationship. A. B, I want to begin today. C, I need to consider it a little more. D, I don't ever want to make that decision. Everybody had a chance to check your box. Just hold on to your card and I'll tell you what to do with it in a minute. I want to pray for everybody that checked B. I'm so proud of you taking that step of faith. You want to begin. You can trust God with your life. You're taking a huge step of faith. I want to lead you in a prayer. Everybody pray this prayer with them. Dear Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on a cross for my sins. I believe God raised You from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever You lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. I believe people prayed that prayer, men business with God for the first time.